Welcome, Mama, to Begin Again, Mama. I'm Tia, your host, and today we have a special guest. With nearly three decades of experience in health, fitness, and personal growth, Kathrina is a seasoned guide on the journey to wholeness, vitality, and joy. Her unique approach integrates whole body nutrition, embodiment movement, immersive ritual experiences, and transformative meditations. As the author of The Butterfly Project, The Alchemy of Unbecoming, and a respected speaker, Kathrina is dedicated to helping others shed unconscious patterns and embrace their vibrant essence. Passionate about crafting sacred spaces for transformation, Kathrina offers coaching, workshops, and immersive rituals. Your journey of empowerment and transformation begins here with Kathrina as your trusted guide. Welcome, Kathrina. I am so excited to be finally sitting down with you. I feel like this has been a long time coming on my part just to get the book in my busy schedule and make sure I gave it the time and attention that I really believe that it deserved, because this book, in the best of ways, has changed the way I look at my past and what I've gone through and the way I'm approaching my present and what I'm currently going through.
Beautiful. Thank you. And it's such an honor to be here with you, and well worth the wait. I'm just delighted. Thank you.
So today we're going to talk about The Butterfly Project, The Alchemy of Unbecoming, which I think is such a beautiful title in general, and focusing on the unbecoming. Because in our society, we like to focus on what are we doing and who are we becoming? What have we become? And focus on more of the outward action versus the inward stillness and surrender to life. How did this book become what it is today sitting in front of me? It is so well written, very clear, yet so in depth and absolutely applicable to anyone at any stage of life.
It was a fascinating, interesting birthing of this book. I have been in the realm of body architect for a very long time, almost 30 years, in the sense of fitness and nutrition. And what I've discovered along the way and working with my clients, and since then have really been diving into more ritual experiences. And so this is kind of birthed from the ritual experiences that I've started to do. And I'm lucky that I have a home that really lends well to that. My husband built a labyrinth in the front yard, and we have this warm pool in our yard. And I create these nature experiences to tap into our own inner wisdom as we spend time with Mother Earth, with Gaia, Pachamama. And as we tap more into her wisdom, we can tap more into our internal wisdom. And so a lot of how I facilitate and coach my clients, whether it's fitness or nutrition, or I do some Thai massage as well, everything has a deeper experience within it. So I always end with a reperspective meditation, which I'm going to give you a taste of today, to really infuse what we're doing with a deeper sense of purpose, with a more magical experience. Kind of, you know, things can become a little bit mundane in our world, especially when we're busy with our routines, whether you're a mother, whether you're a businesswoman, whatever that might be. It's really like taking a few moments out of your day to really tie it all in and to really like stop and reflect and experience. And so the Butterfly Project is really birthed from that perspective, or opening up to the multiple perspectives, so that we can free ourselves up to really fly in that possibility in our life, so that we're not held back by past conditioning, past circumstances, current challenges. Like, how do we really use the alchemy of that challenge? Because there's a lot of power in it. There's a lot of potency in these challenges for a reason. And so if we can really learn, because we haven't been really taught, we can really learn how to tap into the innate wisdom that's already within us and be able to alchemize that. What can we create? What can we transform? How can we live more in the freedom of what's available? Birthing this book really came at a time when I was kind of at the heart of my ritual experiences and really wanting to create something that can be tangible for people. And so I am also creating an online program that goes with this for those who really want to dive into it. I have ritual kits that go with it to really create more kind of hands-on, like I have my ritual kit here. And so it's like lighting the candle. It's having these intentional little things that on their own are just things. But when we put intention into it, that's where the potency is. And so really, as women, is tapping into that creative portal that we all have as women, whether you have had children or not, whether you ever will have children, we have this creative portal, our womb space. And when we can tap into that and birth from that, that's where, yeah, the juiciness is.
I love that. And I feel like you really talk to the power of divine femininity, which is in all of us, whether you are male or female identifying, and being able to tap into that creativity, like you said. Something that really stuck out to me, especially in the beginning of your book, was like all of these experiences, all of these conditionings, all of these circumstances that we may not have desired to be in can be looked at as an opportunity to become who we desire to be in this process. And that spoke so loudly to me, so loudly, because I personally know that I've gone through a lot that I would never wish upon anybody, yet I am profoundly proud of the person who I've become because of those experiences. And I really never had a way to articulate that until I read your book, and it aligned the pieces for me of things that I've experienced in my past. And having that as a toolkit now has given me more confidence in myself to embrace what's is going to come, because things are never going to be perfect and linear as we may have been conditioned to believe growing up. And to have the confidence in yourself to get through them is how we become who we desire to be. And having a book or like a toolkit to help us walk us through that, to me, is just priceless. So I am so excited that you birthed this book, because it really has changed my view on, again, like I said, the things I've gone through and the things I'm going through now. I would love if you could touch on a little overview of the process for today's listeners, just to give them a taste of why they too need to pick up this book and start applying it to their lives.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Love to. First, it's recognizing that we all have these chrysalis moments in life. And these chrysalis moments can be the big things like the deaths and the divorces and the big moves and career changes and the things that command us to look at things or to fall apart or to whatever. And they can also be these smaller kind of nudges or this kind of like, is there something more? Or like what I call these rites of passage. Like it could be a time of where you're feeling this internal shift as we move into motherhood, or as we move out of, you know, moving, your kids are moving out, or you're in the prime of your business, or you arrive there, you've wanted it and you've arrived there. And then you're like, am I here? Is this it? Like, it doesn't feel like I thought it was going to be, right? Because we never really stopped to kind of reflect and think about, well, it's not about achieving the thing. It's about experiencing the feeling. And so I think that that is the critical piece that often gets missed when we are setting our goals or when we're aspiring towards something, is that it's not the thing, it's the feeling. And it's like, how do I want to feel? And this is a part in the sort of the four stages, which I'll get to. But I just wanted to premise that to start off with. And as a body person and helping others to, you know, feel at home in their bodies. And for myself, having struggled with eating disorder, struggled with feeling at home in my body. And sometimes people look at me and they're like, well, what do you know about body shame? And it's like, well, body shame doesn't discriminate, right? We all have our own relationship with that. And so how do we heal that relationship with ourselves other than really going within and really learning how to honor all of it, all of what we've struggled with, whether it makes sense or not, whether we should or shouldn't feel that way, whatever that might be. And so that's really why, as a body person, really recognizing that, you know, it's not just how you eat and how you move, it's also how you think, how you feel, how you perceive. And so in this honoring process where you can uncover and explore those chrysalis moments. So maybe right now you're struggling with something from the past that is still affecting and infecting your current reality, or you have something currently going on that you're really not sure how to navigate. And that's where we tap into that potency. And so first we need to step back a little bit to be able to step out of it. Because if you think about, if I have a mirror or I have something in front of me and there's really just a little dot on there, but if I'm like so focused on it like this, that's all I can see is this thing that is driving me crazy and it is completely ruining my life. But if I can step back and it's like, oh, that little thing, you know, that doesn't have control over me, right? So it's just being able to step back and being able to see, okay, well, yes, this created a cascade of events that have felt devastating to me or felt disruptive in my world. However, perhaps, maybe it has allowed for new opportunities. It's allowed for me to see within myself a pattern where potentially I've allowed people to treat me a certain way, or I've put so much pressure on myself to say yes to too many things. And next thing I know, I can't deliver and I feel like a failure. It's often facing these fears that we have, whether that is fear of failure, but it can also be fear of success. And entrepreneurial woman would understand this, as I know I've faced in my world. It's like, wow, I'm not afraid of failure. I'm afraid of success. Very interesting. Because what does that look like, right? Am I going to be able to keep up with that? Fear of judgment, right? Fear of not being safe, right? And safety means many different things. And as the feminine, it's that safety is really important. And being in a container with other women to be able to, which is why I love that you have this podcast, that you have this experience for people to land into, to feel the safety, to be able to open and explore. And so that's creating that container for ourselves where we can get into that place of honoring. And that honoring is kind of rooted from our quest for freedom. And in that quest for freedom, oftentimes we might be in this mindset of, I just don't want anymore. I just don't want to be overweight anymore. I just don't want to be lonely anymore. I just don't want to be struggling financially anymore. I just don't want, I just don't want, I just don't want. And so how can we shift the running from, which takes a lot of energy, into the invitation to, the pulling towards, the call towards, the invitation from that curiosity of like, what can I create in my life? It's like, how do I feel more energized and alive in my body so that I can do all these things, that I don't feel limited by my physical body? Or how do I expand and explore new relationship? And, you know, because we learn so much about ourselves in relationship. We don't learn as much in isolation. So how do I open myself up again so that I can learn more about myself? Not about just, will somebody love me again? It's like, no, how do I understand myself and love myself enough to really allow all of me to come out, so I get to come out and play and see my experience myself? So that freedom from versus the freedom to. And that was a real game changer in my world. And so shifting that energy. And then the gift of perspective is really like, again, the lenses. We get so mired in certain lenses because they're the familiar lenses that we know. When we can start to see that, oh my gosh, there's like literally limitless perspectives, limitless. Like you can't even possibly, like, I blow my mind all the time. I go into this awareness, this thought process, and I go down and I'm just like, holy, like it blew my mind. I didn't even know that was a possible way of living into life. So that would be the honoring process. And then as we move into the unbecoming, it's when the caterpillar steps into the chrysalis. So the chrysalis is the cocoon, for those of you who don't know. Stepping into the chrysalis, as we allow ourselves to fall apart and get a little messy and get a little gooey. And for me, what I learned about myself is that I'm not a very emotive person. I used to judge myself that I didn't cry very easily. And I'm like, is there something wrong with me? You know, do I not feel as deeply? I feel all the feels. I just process it differently. Some people contract in emotion and I expand in emotion. So I kind of like go into all the different perspectives. And so rather than judging myself for that, it's like, oh, that's one of my superpowers. We can turn our our challenges into superpowers. It's like, oh, well, because I can do that, can I be curious enough to explore about what that freedom to allows me to do instead of what it stops me from creating or being or anything? We can do that in any aspect of our life. So that unbecoming is a consciousness. It's a consciously choosing to let go of parts of ourselves that aren't serving us, that aren't really where we want to go. And so we tap into this rhythm of life. The question that's really helped me is, if I really believe this, and I do, so I ask myself, well, if I really believe that life is happening for me and not to me, then what is the opportunity here? And so then I start to be able to look through all those different lenses, and I can start to like, oh, okay, well, I can see how this will support me. And then I stop focusing on the lack or what's holding me back from and what it's offering instead. And then that's where these perspectives, it's kind of like the illusion of death where we actually kill a perspective. It's almost like a part of self needs to die, just as the caterpillar is falling apart and becoming this messy goo, right? Can we surrender completely? So this trust, surrender, and allow. It's an experience that came to me. I had an ayahuasca experience 2007, a long time ago, and completely obliterated my need for control, which was strong. And so in that, the result of that was really surrender, trust, and allow. And there's different variations of how we can be allowed, trust, and surrender. But when I really step into that energy space, it's like I can let go of how it needs to show up too. And so when we start to honor our experiences, it's like, well, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't have met that person. And then this opportunity wouldn't have happened. And I wouldn't have, you know, the relationship I have or the career I have or whatever, even though this other shitty thing happened. But look at all of this other beautiful fruits that grew in my life. And so that perspective, that unbecoming, as we consciously let that go, we then start to move into the third phase, which is the embodiment. And so as we start to embody the butterfly, if you were in a chrysalis, you need to bust out of that chrysalis in order to strengthen your wings. If you cut a butterfly out of a chrysalis, it won't fly. So we will continue to bump up against our past conditioning, because that's just part of life. We're going to be triggered by those triggers again, but we might start noticing like, it's not that intense. Or you might start to notice a trigger that completely doesn't bother you at all, or you don't even notice anymore. And so that's when we start to really become more conscious. And then in the consciousness, as we start to think about the embodiment of who we want to be, that embodiment is the parts of thinking about, well, if I was already living as the version of self that I'm wanting to experience more of, that's aligned with the feelings of freedom, prosperity, health, then how am I waking up in the morning? What is my morning routine? How am I fueling my body? How am I starting my day? How am I greeting my day? How am I greeting those in my life? And this isn't about being perfect, by the way, because perfection is an infection. And it will take you out of your present moment. So it's about just being aware and coming back to, well, in that space of arriving in the embodiment of, can I just start doing that now? Can I start waking up with that in mind? Can I start greeting my partner this way? Can I start to make different choices that are going to align me more with the version of myself that I'm wanting to break into? And then in that space, we can really learn to tap into our body as a guide. Our body's always talking to us. And instead of cursing our body, I went through, and I talk about it in the book, it's called In the Twinkle of an Eye. And so not only was the body shame and eating disorder, I also struggled with a long fertility journey that ultimately was about me birthing myself. And even though in the end, I didn't birth my own baby, it's so interesting when we can go through a very traumatic experience and transform it in real time. And even though I don't have a birthed baby, I'm now a full-time stepmom. We don't know how parenthood is going to show up. During that time, and I did IVF, and I never in a million years thought I would ever do IVF. It just wasn't aligned with where I kind of believed for my body to be. But I shifted a perspective. I invited something new in. And my husband and I went through it with, like, we made love to get the sperm. We went in together. We witnessed the growth of the embryos. And even though there was devastation in those moments. I went through miscarriages. I went through not being able to carry. And even in all of that, in the end, after all of those, because eventually I ended up getting pregnant 2 years later after letting that all go, right before I was supposed to move to a new city, new province. And I was like, oh, wow, right? So then there's a part of me like, well, this must mean that it's going to happen. And even though it didn't happen, it was like the first time I didn't feel broken. It was the first time when I found out that it wasn't viable. I was like, that thing isn't there anymore. I don't feel like I need to fix something. I'm broken. I need to fix it. It was just nothing was there as far as that goes, right? So I was just like, huh, right? So then being able to be open to the new possibilities that are coming in, right? So that allowed me to meet moments like that, to continue, because at the same time I was going through this twinkle in my eye, which was my spirit baby, but it was also a nevus in my eye, which had the potential to be this cancerous growth inside of my eyeball. And so like navigating that whole journey and bringing in some humor and some magic into the experience as I was going into the operating room. And I asked them, I'm like, okay, I have a request. And they're like, sure. And I said, will you all imagine that you're implanting superpower love into my eye? They're like, sure, we can do that. So it's like, it's taking control of the things that will bring more freedom for you and asking for it, not being afraid of what's on the other side of that. So our bodies are always telling us what they need. Our bodies have wisdom, and each body part, each organ, all have wisdom. And then the dance of emotions and learning how to feel those emotions, letting them move through us as we embody and step more into the feeling of what we want more of, and allow those other strong emotions, this anger, we can use that too to alchemize and to shift into something, a powerful movement. And then as we emerge, as we become the butterfly, then that's where we're in the freedom too. And we're going to meet more challenges. We're going to meet more chrysalis moments, because that's why we're here. This is life, right? And we just don't know. We just don't know what's available. And so how do we bring ourselves in those chrysalis moments to the version of ourself that we want to be, the version of ourself that we know is possible without beating ourselves up in the meantime? So that's kind of the essence of the book, and then getting into really living into the alchemy of self and living in the afterglow. And that's my word of the year.
I love that. And the process requires, like you said, the intentionality on our part, and I feel like a lot of vulnerability on our part to actually take a new perspective in, to actually look at our lives in such an intentional way that can be intimidating, I think, for some people at first. I know it is for me, because it's almost like, no, I would rather feel like I have no control over these situations that are heartbreaking or that are devastating to my life. Like, if I don't have control over them, then I play no role in them. And it kind of like, almost like I get to wash my hands from them in a way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense.
And this process is the opposite of that. I mean, like, yes, we can't control it, but that's what's kind of the like beautiful and brutal part of it, is that we can't control it. So how do we surrender to it? How do we trust that we get to become who we desire to be at the end of this? And you lay it out so beautifully in your book. Like, it's straightforward, digestible, and feels doable. And I love that, because I'm the type of person that's like, if it's too hard, I'm really intimidated to give it a try. Even when it feels so aligned with me, I want it to feel doable. And the book is written in a way that is beautifully straightforward. Mm. And you kind of touched on this at the end, but is this process as straightforward and linear as it sounds? Like, how do we actually see this unfold in our lives? Because as I was reading it, I can see the linear part of the process in my past, but as I'm living, I'm like, it's not linear. I am in stage one. I also am in stage four. I can feel it. Like, the present is not linear, but the past I see as linear. I don't know how that works, but it does.
I know, right? I love that you said that. I love hearing other people's reflections. I never really thought of it that way either. Because you're right, it's not linear. But when we look back at things, because we're, you know, when you're on the other side of it, you can kind of like follow the whole path of it. but when you're in it, you can't even possibly know where it's going to go and where the gifts are sometimes. And I first of all recommend not necessarily doing the rituals after each section. I would actually read the whole book first and then dive into the rituals as you feel fit, right? So really trusting what's showing up for you, really trusting that, because as you read it, you're going to like take some notes. It's like, oh, that's really speaking to this issue that I have. And you might think that you've like completely resolved something. And then it's like, it's a little trigger. It's a little button that's kind of pushing on that. And it's like, oh, you know, and that's why I used to really kind of avoid emotional disruption when I was younger, because I never really was taught how to feel. And I'm strong. Like our greatest strengths can be our greatest weaknesses. And not only am I strong physically and emotionally and mentally, which is great, but it's also the downside of that for me as my weakness is that I push through things. I just like, I can do this, right? And recognizing that being able to feel actually is a beautiful strength. When we look at patterns in our life or look at ways of being and give grace upon that, then we can see where it's triggered in a certain event in our life. And so now that I can feel effectively, when I'm in an emotional state, what I call under the water, and in that space, I can see all of the shit in my life. It's like I can see the relationship where it still isn't healed, and I can see how I really feel about this project that I'm working on or whatever it might be. And so when I'm in the mud, that's where I can really like take stock of all of the things in my life. Oh, how's this going in my relationship here? And how's this going with what I'm moving towards here? And that is where the alchemy really is too. For example, I thought that this relationship with one of my friends was, you know, it was fine. It wasn't like amazing, but it was fine. And then it was like, when I was in that emotional state, I thought, I can see and feel exactly the thing that needs to be talked about in our relationship in order to push through it, to heal it, or to move on. And that's what this will do. That's what happens in this book, is that it will push up against these different things as you are emerging out of your cocoon. And it's a continual journey. It's a continual journey in your life. So it's a book that you can literally pick up and open to a page. And even though it has a start and a finish, you might come across a section, because there's all these little sort of tidbit sections that can speak to something about your life right now. And that's why it's kind of like a handbook that you can refer to. Or you might just say, you know what, I feel like this weekend I want to do one of these rituals. And you can apply it to anything in your life. You could apply it, like right now we're about to move into spring. And spring is a time of emerging, of like poking through, and new life is happening. And all of this stuff in our life, all of the chrysalis moments, all of the pain, all of the hardship is the fertilizer for that new blossoming. And so when we can start to see that, because we need fertilizer for growth. So we turn that pain, that challenge into the fertilizer for what's new. And so in this season of spring, what is it that we really want to birth in our lives, to spring forth, to blossom in our lives? What is the fragrance of that? What is the beauty of that? And we don't need to force it to happen. It's just going to happen with the nurturance, right? The nurturance of sunlight, the nurturance of water. Well, that can be the nurturance of your own self-love. That can be the nurturance of your own presence.
I'm glad you said that, because I am definitely one of those people that when I'm feeling like underwater, I'm like, wow, everything is wrong. I thought these things were right and everything is wrong. And so then my habitual way of thinking is to spiral. And it comes down to is I'm not enough. Mm. And that's not true. And I know that to not be true. Yet I can use this book to like come back to those different pieces and let them be just one piece of the puzzle rather than actually getting stuck underneath that water and drowning in everything is wrong, because it's so easy to get stuck there. It's harder to come up for air, but it's so easy to get sucked down, at least for me in my emotional state of being, mm-hmm. when I get to that point.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you mentioned it as a piece, because I think all of us struggle with that or have struggled with that. And it's reframing it in a way that actually gives you freedom.
So Katharina, in your belief, is there a day that we get to completely emerge? Is that possible or is that death? Like, I'm genuinely curious here.
Well, I'm a deep diver. I spend a lot of time in this inner realm, in this inner world. And although I have these epiphany moments and I feel like, oh my God, that's it. That's it. That's what this is all about. And then I have another one that's completely different. You know, maybe the same day, maybe another day. And I really believe that is the privilege of being in a physical body, is that it's not really about arriving. I guess we do the ultimate arrival when we exit this meat suit. I guess it's more about bringing more enjoyment, more fullness, more all of us. One of the things that have really, really helped me, a perspective that has really helped me, this is the ultimate self-love. The realization, like the true realization, like the land in your body realization, that no one has, no one is, and no one ever gets to be Katharina. Only I get to be Katharina. And so it's like, why would I spend all that time beating myself up and focusing on all of the challenging things or negative things, so-called negative things about myself, when in fact, there's always, just like a partner, the things that we love about our partners the most are intricately connected to the very things that drive us crazy about them. And that you wouldn't get one without the other. And would you trade it? No. So it's the same thing about ourselves. Can I get really, really curious about what it means to be Katharina? Can I like get outlandishly like out there about like unapologetic, like, I mean, really unapologetic, not like in your face, I'm going to show you who I am, but just not willing to entertain the whole I'm not enough. And we all have it. That doesn't mean that it doesn't show up for me. It will. It does. But how do I see it for what it is? And I'm like, oh, I see you. And as soon as we can see that thought, that thing, we can then transform it. We can be like, okay, I'm a bit of a dork. I have a dorky sense of humor. My husband pointed this out to me one day and I was like, I'm not a dork. And then Sage, our daughter, she's like, yeah, you're kind of dorky. I'm like, no, I'm not. And then I like proceeded by saying something dorky and I'm like, oh my God, I am a dork. I'm totally a dork. I didn't know I was a dork. Right. And so then, you know, my husband, when he says something funny, he's just like, he has this whole commentary in his head and he can pick and choose. And it's just like, I'm always busting a gut. Me, it's like, I got one thing coming across my screen and I say it. Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, that was dorky, but that's all I got. Sorry. Right. So then I can actually enjoy being, you know, if I'm going to be a dork, then I better be just the best dork I can be. Right. And so then we don't get to just embrace the good things in life or just embrace the qualities of what we love about ourselves without really getting to fully embrace all of those other pieces that make that the thing that we are so proud of. Right? It's that fertilizer for all of the wholeness that we can experience within. That's a thought process that really helps me to navigate the whole idea of arriving, and that each day I can arrive. Each day I can arrive, and each day I can be, you know, a messy goo, and each day I can be in a place of honoring, right? So that's where it's non-linear.
I love that. I'm so glad that you put it that way, because it is such a privilege to wake up and be us, be me, be who I am, whatever that means that day. Gosh, that could change, right? The different hats I get to put on, the different roles I get to play, and embracing that for what it is. And like you said, really stepping into the wholeness of life and embracing it for what it is, because it's unpredictable, it's crazy, it's not linear, it's absolutely wild and unique to you. And reminding myself, which is like my number one thing, is nobody gets to be me. Nobody has lived in my shoes or gone through my experiences exactly. So they're not going to have the answers for me. I'm not going to find the map out there how to live my life perfectly. I just have to follow my intuition and take the next right step for me, whatever that feels like it's going to be that day. And your book is so perfect for helping you learn how to listen to yourself again, learn how to step into being confident what your next move is and embracing your past as a way to propel yourself forward into that desired person that you know you want to be, you get to be, you can be, and that you deserve to be. So thank you so much, Katharina. I feel like I could talk to you all day about this book because it really has broadened my perspectives on so much in my life. So I appreciate that so much. Is there anything you feel like we missed today that you would like to bring up?
I do have an offer for any of you on my website, which we'll have a link for on personalevolution.ca. I have a couple, I just finished through a women's summit. Well, it was a festival really. And I have a couple offers in there. I have my Body Temple Blueprint Masterclass, and I have a recording for the basically Enter the Chrysalis. I have a recording there for you. I also have an extra bonus just for your listeners. That if you purchase the book and you send me a copy of the receipt, I am going to do a personalized meditation for you to help you to navigate your chrysalis moment into that freedom too. You could just, you know, email me or message me on social media and I will do that for you. And if there is time, I could take you through a short little meditation.
That sounds great. We'll add your social media links into the show notes as long with your website and email so people have easy access to it. And I would love to be sit through a meditation with you.
Okay, so I'm just going to invite you to close your eyes and just follow that breath inward into your internal landscape. Feeling your whole body open to receive this breath, this life energy. And as you exhale, feeling yourself soften and relax. Opening and expanding on the inhale and softening and relaxing on the exhale. The mind will do what the mind does. We don't need to judge ourselves for having thoughts. Just bring our attention more and more to the breath, as though the breath is breathing you. Imagining each cell in your body receiving this breath and swirling and twirling within your cells and releasing any toxins, releasing any old patterns or behaviors that are no longer serving you. And it can be as easy as breathing. It's not about deserving. It's not about having to work to create that. It's about aligning with the natural ebb and flow of your own internal nature, your own rhythm. Just following that breath and tuning in to all of the aspects of what makes you you. And yes, we have these titles, daughter, sister, mother, child, partner, wife, friend. And there is this whole lineage of women before us, our ancestors, and their life, their history, their story, their wisdom. And we can tap into this infinite feminine wisdom that is our birthright. And we can allow that to be our guide. We can surrender to this innate wisdom. So I'm just going to invite you to imagine yourself in a space where you feel it's your favorite space. It might be by the ocean. It might be in a mountain. It might be in a meadow, by the creek, wherever that might be. And just bringing all of your senses there. The smells you'd be smelling, the sounds you'd be hearing, the texture of the earth beneath you, and really connecting to our mother. Mother Earth, Pachamama, Gaia, all the words we have for her. And feeling yourself relax into her, soften into her, and feeling completely held and safe. There are many experiences in life where we may have not felt safe. We can create that safety. We can allow ourselves to sit in this cradle of Mother Earth. Now, while feeling held and safe, we can allow the front side of our body to open up to Father Sky, allowing ourselves to emerge while feeling held and safe into this sky energy, which is limitless possibilities. And we can look down upon our life. We can look down upon the day-to-day that we do as you are a witness. You are not living in it. You are witnessing with a detached perspective, a detached way of seeing. And it's like a higher wisdom. It's like your soul wisdom that is witnessing with appreciation, love, forgiveness. And when I say forgiveness, it's not that you've done something wrong. It's to forgive it up, to let it go, to forgive, forgive. And from this perspective, we can look down and see, well, how do we move about our day? What are the current challenges that we might be experiencing? And how can I, from this other perspective, this higher perspective, what is something that I might notice? I might notice a connection between certain places that I am and how I'm feeling, or a struggle that I'm having and an awareness that I'm not seeing because I don't see its connection. And so from this bigger, broader perspective, I can witness, I can hold space for, and just see. And then allow whatever thoughts to come to mind, trusting this innate wisdom of maybe there's a connection with this and this. Maybe I'm being too hard on myself. Maybe I just need to stop and be with my breath and be with this innate wisdom. What if I did that for 5 minutes a day? And bringing in the grace, extending yourself the grace that you give everybody else, bringing that grace in, feeling that light of grace upon your body, feeling that shining upon your body as you're held by the Mother Earth. And then bringing all of that in, that wisdom, that knowing. As you come back into your body, bringing all of yourself back into your body with this new awareness. And then allowing there to be a seed of intent. That which you're wanting to experience more of, that seed of that feeling of the version of yourself you're wanting to experience more of. I'm giving it a word, one word. And then placing that seed. So often we start planning around, how do I create that? We create a plan for it. We plant that seed in our head, in our mind's eye. Well, I want you to plant that seed in your womb space. I want you to plant that seed there, and I want you to nourish that seed every single day with the thoughts and the love and the nourishment that every seed needs. And that love and that nourishment is your attention, your intention of watching it blossom in your life. You're imagining this seed actually turning into a flower, and you're going to birth that into the world. You're birthing this beautiful fragrance, this beautiful blossoming into this world. But you're placing your attention in your womb space, your portal of creation, not in your mind. That's a more masculine way. And yes, we are both masculine and feminine, and we need both. We need a plan. We need to also do that as well. But I feel like we have not really accessed this innate portal of creation. And then I want you to bring into this experience a hum. So that word, keeping that word in mind, that seed that you implanted, and humming with that word in your own mind. Feeling that hum vibrate through every cell of your being, that vibration, that frequency of what you're going to experience more of. So I'm just going to invite your three breaths. And as you exhale, last one on your own. You'll start to notice that frequency of that hum starts to find your, it finds its own way. It starts to reveal this resonance in your body. You feel that resonance in your cells. And when we leave this time today, you can bring that hum into your day-to-day. As you're going through a challenge in your life, you can bring yourself into the hum and your body, that visceral experience in your body, you will feel it. And you can come back to yourself, come back home to yourself. And then placing your hands on your heart, feeling that beautiful heartbeat, that metronome of life that has seen you from infancy until now.
feeling a deep reverence for what it means to be alive in this body, at this very time, in this very place. And then you're going to take your hands while your eyes are closed. You're going to rub your hands together until you feel some heat generating between the palms. Once you feel that heat generated, you're going to place your hands over your eyes as you inhale deeply. And as you exhale, lifting your hands up and away as you open your eyes to a fresh perspective.
Thank you for joining Begin Again, Mama. I am grateful you chose to spend time with me. I know how busy you are and how precious your time really is. If you like this podcast, I invite you to subscribe or follow on your desired platform. And when you do, please rate and review Begin Again, Mama. This helps me expand our reach. Until next time, remember, each moment is an opportunity to start anew and begin again, Mama.